Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word, for in your word is abundant life. Amen. So I did a little math this week. I was ordained almost 28 years ago, and I was preaching before I got the collar. So that's 30 Lent seasons that I've preached, at least 30. And every Lent starts with the same story. It might be Matthew or it might be Luke telling the story, but every year, just as spring is trying to prove itself worthy of an invitation, we hear about Jesus being tempted by the devil. Tempted to turn a stone into bread. After all, he's hungry. Tempted to rule over all the kingdoms. After all, he would be good at it. Tempted to take a flying leap. After all, he's the beloved and God won't let him be hurt. Scripture promises. We just sang the promise. Angels will catch him. So every year, I reimagine what those temptations might mean to you, to me, what our personal equivalents might be, and honestly, truthfully, I am tired of it. So yesterday I decided I'm not doing anything new today. I'm going to dust off one of those past 40 trips into the wilderness with Jesus. And having made that decision, I went for a walk. Not particularly responsible, but there it is. And it was so nice yesterday. Oh. You noticed that the sun was out and it was still pretty cold, but somehow it was more than a few degrees different from Friday. It was like season different. Did you notice? It didn't feel like winter yesterday. I could feel spring coming around the corner. I mean, not here yet, but you could hear it just right there. As I walked to our local park, it was like I was walking through a whole new world. The snow and the ice, they were no longer bullying me. They were apologizing and backing away. The sun shone on my face and the air filled and refreshed my lungs. Nothing was as it had been before. I felt alive. Sat down on a bench by a baseball diamond. I mean, nothing to watch yet, but it's coming. I sat, I breathed, I thought, I felt. I could almost have napped. I felt so at ease. And then there was this fellow sitting beside me. I didn't even hear him arrive. I was, I don't know, happy dozy, I guess. He spoke to me. He said, "Different today, isn't it? Everything that you've gotten used to in the past few months is gone. The familiar bleakness is gone. You almost aren't sure what to do, are you? Whole new way of looking at things today, isn't there?" "Yeah," I said. "It's so unfamiliar, like nothing looks the same. It's kind of like the wilderness," he said. "Wait a minute." Thought about it for a second, holding my breath. "I know that voice. It's the one that I hear in prayer. It's the one that I hear deep inside when I dare to listen. The one that assures me that God is present." I look again. He doesn't look like he usually does. He's wearing an Under Armour hoodie, an orange toque, and Uggs. I look again. Fake Uggs. "Jesus?" He smiled, laughed gently. "It's been a while since we've sat on a bench and talked, Norm." "Yeah, it's been a while. I've been busy. Assume you've been busy too. You look older." "You're older," he said. "I'm older. You're white. I'm white. You're a man. I'm a man. We both speak English. You experience me as you experience yourself. Just don't count on everyone experiencing me the same way." I said, "Yeah, all right. I get that. I just didn't realize I was getting so old." "So you think that today is like some kind of wilderness?" "Well, it's a different kind of day, isn't it? A time of change that invites new perspective and insight. See, that's why the Spirit led me here in the story, into the wilderness, a different place than what I was used to. When Matthew told the story, he said I was driven there by the Spirit, like he really pushed it. It was important that I get some perspective on what I was about to do. I was starting my ministry. the actions and teachings that people are still talking about, learning about 2,000 years later. I mean, it was important that I take it pretty seriously. I needed a new perspective. Yeah, but he went into the wilderness and you were confronted by the devil. I'm sitting on a bench talking to you. So you're disappointed that I'm not the devil? See, Norm, what's important is that you get a new perspective. I'm trying to help you with that. But if you'd rather, I could leave and someone else will come along, I'm sure. No, no, please don't get up. Please stay. He paused. He looked me in the eyes and he said, so you're thinking of phoning it in tomorrow? What? And then he sat beside me. And we looked not at each other, but we looked out at the changing park. The cold and ice being pushed into retreat by the sun. The snow beginning to melt and become water for the earth and growing things. Norm, you know that I love you. I know your heart. And you're tired. You've been through a lot in the past couple of months. There's nothing wrong with dusting off an old sermon and giving it a new twist. But don't phone it in. Be excited about it. You're sharing the Word of God. And remember what John said about the Word being made flesh? That's me. I take it personally. You're sharing me. Jesus, it's just that after like 40 Lents, I'm beginning to get tired of it. I'm running out of things to say. And besides, I'm pretty sure that we've got it by now. I mean, I know that I do. Faith good, temptation bad. Just say no. Got it. Okay, said, if you say so, you're the preacher. You're the one that went to seminary. You've got the collar. What have I got? I mean, you know. So how did your weight loss go last year? I don't know. I lost a little over 50 pounds. Good for you. If that's what you wanted, good. How's it been going the last couple of months? And I'm gaining weight again. Not much, but I am going back up. Oh. How come? I don't know, a couple of bad choices. I don't know, in 2018, I restricted myself to potato chips on Friday nights. I love chips, but they're not particularly good for me. But you know this thing called storm chips? Like if you're stormed in, like you get chips, right? You light a fire, you celebrate the surprise break from the routine. Storm chips. Well, we've had a lot of snow days in 2019. So Friday chips became snow day chips, and then just Wednesday chips, because why wait for bad weather, and you know. And then I went to Johnny's the other day. God, I haven't had a burger there in so long, or onion rings, or a shake. But Norm, I thought you had the whole thing figured out. Yeah, I know, but it's not a head thing, right? I mean, I get tired, I get emotional, I get complacent. Sure. And you lost all that weight, so it must be tempting to have a little something to celebrate, right? Yeah, exactly, like a milkshake, onion rings, and a banquet burger. And admit it, you had the bacon and the cheese. Yeah. And I didn't even like it that much. I just felt like having it. Norm, that's why it's important to tell the story of temptation at least once a year. Because temptation is not something we overcome like a once-in-a-lifetime challenge. There's no exam, there's no diploma for it. Temptation is a constant part of our lives. We always wonder, what if I do this instead of that? Should I try this or should I settle for that? You notice, Norm, in the story that when it's over, the devil didn't give up. He withdrew until a more opportune time. Because there's always temptation. Because there is always choice. Every year, the choices are different. The context changes. But there's always choice. So you're saying that if I'm ever invited to rule over the kingdoms of the world, I should choose not to every time? Do you honestly think that's going to happen, Norm? No. No, I don't, but that's the point, Jesus. I mean, I get that. Whether it's the kingdoms of the world or a committee, I'm not going to take over simply by some kind of shortcut. I've preached that at least a dozen times. Yeah, but Norm, what about when you're put in charge? Do you wonder about how you got to be in charge? I mean, I was offered the whole kit and caboodle for simply worshiping the devil. Didn't even have to be meaningful, good worship. Just a bending of the knee would probably have done it. See your job at Jubilee. Are you good at it? I think so. Are you the right person for the job? I think so. And how much do you think that patriarchy and white privilege had to do with your getting the job? The successes that you had in your life and your career, how many are dependent on being white, male, cisgendered, straight, married, able to move around the environment easily, educated, well-spoken? Yeah, but that's not my fault. You can't blame me for just being who I am. Norm, I'm not blaming you. Nobody is. And I'm not saying you aren't deserving of the things that have come your way. I'm not saying you're not good at what you do. But it is tempting to think that you did it all by yourself and that you never knelt or benefited from some system or culture that offered you power when others were denied. I refused the shortcut to my destiny when I said no to the temptation to rule over all the kingdoms. I'm asking you to be aware of how you've come into your privilege and say no to increasing your privilege at the expense of others. Worship God and see God in all that God has created. You know, Norm, people who aren't the same as you were not created as an afterthought. They are as loved, as valued, and as capable as you. And their story, their wisdom, their vision needs to be embraced too. See, this isn't just about your privilege. Everybody has some privilege somewhere. But yours is almost everywhere. So maybe this actually is easier for you because you have so many places to start. Jesus, this is hard. I don't know if I could do it. I try to be aware of my privilege. I try to open myself and the places that I occupy to others. But the truth is, it's exhausting. And I don't want to give up all my privilege because it feels good. And I do good things with it. I know that I do. That's why we call it tempting. You don't think that I could have done good things ruling over all the kingdoms of the world? How you get there is important. And I don't expect you to fix it all by yourself, Norm. I don't expect you to do it overnight. But I want you to think about it. I want you to think about when and where you've worshipped something or someone other than God. And where that got you. I give up. Yeah, I know. I get it. Just give up. Let God take care of it. That's tempting, isn't it? Do you remember the time that you asked your son Paul to shovel the snow and he said no? I seem to recall that the conversation went on. You said something like, or he said something to you like, if it's so important to you, why don't you do it? God, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. I almost lost it. Almost? I remember saying to him, we're in this together, not because it's easy, but because we love each other and we help each other and nobody gets to have it his way all the time. We succeed as a family only when we're actually working together. I may have said it with a little more drama and volume. It is tempting to let God do it. And God can do it, Norm. But we succeed as a family only when we're working together. A wise man said that. Okay. I can preach that in 2019. The struggle to be aware of and let go of privilege, the temptation to deny it and or just leave it all to God. I can preach that. But if you don't mind, I really would like to let go of this temptation to turn a stone into a loaf of bread. I mean, that has got to be the goofiest temptation of them all. I mean, I really don't even know why you said no. You were hungry. You weren't taking bread from a hungry person. You weren't taking bread at all. You were turning a stone into something edible, something useful. Right? There was no shortage of stone in the wilderness. There were no concerns about pipelines to get it somewhere, whose land it was on. No jobs needed to be protected. No additional funding was required. There was no environmental impact. It would have made no bloody difference. It is tempting to imagine that there are things that have no impact and make no difference. But Norm, let me tell you something. There is no such thing as a morally neutral act. Everything has an impact on the world or on you. Like Wednesday chips, when you've decided on Friday chips only. Every choice you make matters. It affects the world, and it shapes you. Every choice you make shapes you. Yeah, I guess. This is really tough, which is why we tell the story, why we talk about it again and again. Life is wonderful and glorious, but it is not easy. Every year, every day, every moment, there are new temptations, new ways to look at the world, new perspectives on who and how we are. That's why I'm glad that you do what you do every week, every day. I hope that people pay attention. I hope that you listen to yourself occasionally, too. And with that, he just sort of got up and walked west into the sunshine, leaving me with a decision to make. And I decided to dust off an old sermon and not write something new. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, it's not easy. And we don't know how to do it alone. But maybe that's the first temptation we need to overcome, the thought that we're in this alone. God, remind us that you are with us in every choice that we make. Remind us that as we shape ourselves, you too are shaping us. We have only to open our hearts, open our eyes, and know that we are not alone. In this time of Lent, let us be tempted, but let us never be tempted to think we're in this alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.